direct from Orlando. It's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2017. Brought to you by Hims.
BrailleSense Polaris is shipping. The future is now. Check out the first Google-certified future-proof note-taker with no touchscreen required. For more information, visit www.hims-inc.com.
Now, here's Chansey Fleet.
Hi, I'm here with Ed Rogers, Managing Director of Bristol Braille Technology in the UK. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
So this is the Canute, and it's come a long way since I last saw it in CSUN.
In March 2016, I think, right?
That's right. So it's been almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I am sitting with it right now. And the form factor almost reminds me of a VCR. Do you think that's about right?
Yeah, it's about 7.5 inches from the front to the back. It's about 14.5 from left to right. It's about 2 inches thick. So it's got 40 cells of Braille across every line, and there's 9 lines. There's 360 cells of Braille. And so most of the machine is taken up with the Braille, and then there's a small margin around the edge of it.
And it might interest people to know, particularly beginning Braille readers and Braille instructors, that it almost feels double-spaced. The lines are a little bit separated from one another.
Yes, it's essentially the same as Interline, really, if anyone's familiar with Interline. It's not that much used in the States, but it's something that we've had a lot of feedback on about people finding it a bit easier to learn with, and not that many people who really mind the spacing.
The other thing that's notable about the Braille is that it is extremely solid. Mm-hmm. It's more solid than typical refreshable Braille and also more solid than hard copy. Before we were on mic, we used a sheet of paper to basically make an impression of Braille dots, and they transferred to the paper. They weren't quite as crisp as though they had come from a Perkins, but they were absolutely readable.
Yeah, not bad for bar hopping done with your thumb. So.
Oh, and that's the sound of the Canute refreshing. It starts at the top left and refreshes half a line at a time, and it is coming in on the last line, and it is now done showing a page of Braille.
Yeah, so this is just loaded the second half of the library options. So I think this has got a few book titles from the Clovenoak Center.
Yep, I see New York Times Book Review, Clover NRF, People Weekly, June, and Rolling Stone. And so around the perimeter, on the left side, we've got some rightward-facing arrows pointing at the 9 lines. And those will allow us to select any of the lines.
Yeah, we're trying to keep the Canute as a standalone Braille e-reader. The idea that this is something which would replace your huge stack of paper Braille. It's not necessarily a direct replacement for a Braille display. It's more about taking the advantages of multiple lines of Braille that currently people can only get on paper Braille, but reducing the huge bulk of it down. So though we have a very simple user interface, there are buttons on the left-hand side, like you say, which are used for selecting from a set of options. And then you've got some simple previous page, next page, and go home, a home button as well, down the bottom.
Towards me, there are 3 very large and distinct horizontal panning bars. The one in the middle to select and return to the menu, and the ones on the left and right to pan by page. And it looks as though on the left-hand side we've got a USB port for importing books. Is that correct?
That's right. This particular prototype, how it works, is you put a USB stick in and it takes all the BRF files on that USB stick and loads them onto the Canute. What we're going to have for the final production unit, we'll keep the USB port, but that'll be used for peripherals like a keyboard or something like that if you want to search by that by using input. And it'll have an SD card, which is what you'll keep your library of books on. So the Canute works directly with Braille-ready files and portable embosser files. It takes books from, say, Bookshare, for example, or ones that have been pre-produced from Duxbury in schools, and you can put that directly onto the Canute, and it keeps all of the formatting. The important distinction between what the Canute does and any previous form of digital Braille does is it is an exact replication of the format of Braille. So if there's 6 blank lines, you get 6 blank lines. If you've got something indented right over to the right-hand side of the page, then you get all of that blank space, and that's especially useful for mathematics, for music, for tabular data, all those sorts of things where just having having a string of text, just 20 cells or 40 cells, isn't so useful without the context.
So can you talk a little bit about how this device was developed and what the development process has been so far?
We've been building it in Bristol Braille Technology for 5 years now. We've been building it for the last 3 years with a group called the Braillists Foundation, which is a primarily UK and Irish organisation of blind and sighted Braille users who try and promote and assist projects that are advancing Braille. So the Canute is one of their projects. We work with them on the Canute, and together we've gone through 12 iterations of the Canute design, and we've come up with this final one. So the one I showed you in March 2016, that was the 8th iteration. So we've come a very long way. We work out of a Hackspace. We develop, which is like a community workshop, we develop these prototypes in the Hackspace, and we arrange to meet with the Braillists Foundation, with local groups that meet in various towns, and they will take the prototype, try it at home, give us their feedback, and also suggest the best uses for it. So, for example, when we started, we were more focused on being a display. But over the years, we've become more focused on being a self-contained Braille e-reader, you know, a very different class of device to anything existing on the market at the moment.
And are some of these units out at pilot locations for testing right now?
Yeah, this particular model, the Mark 12, this is the very first one. We only finished this immediately, and I mean exactly 1 hour before I came over to the to the convention after the most extraordinarily long shift over the weekend to finish it. But the previous model, the Mark 11, we've got two of those out being tested. One of them is in Clovenhoek Centre now. In fact, it's their unit, they own it. One of them is with the National Braille Press in Boston. We've got a Mark 9, which is in Dublin, and a Mark 10, which is in Worcester in England. So we try and make sure that all our old prototypes are worn into the ground. You know, they are constantly out and being used by people so that we can continue to get feedback and so on. And also, because once you've made one of these things, you know, they're the only single-lined, multi-line Braille displays in the world. It seems silly to keep them in a box somewhere. Someone wants to use them.
I think that's right. And what are your plans for distribution? When do you think it may be ready? And what are you thinking in terms of price?
We have a target, which is £600 sterling wholesale price, or to our backers as well in the Braillists. And that's about $850. That's for a 360-cell display. Whether we can get that initially or not, that depends on, you know, how the production goes. We may end up having to be a bit higher, but we're hoping to be under $1,000 for this display, this e-book reader. The aim is to get everything finished and ready by the end of this year. First unit shipped then. You never know. Things may slip. Things are always likely to slip a little bit. So look at early next year is the most likely time, I think.
Can you talk a little bit about what's under the hood, what the processor is, how they're powered?
Yes. A bit about the software first. This is important for us that this is an entirely open sourced development. So in software. So all our software is you can go on our website, which is www.bristolbraille.co.uk, and I'll give you a link to the sources for the Canute, and you can download them, run an accessible emulator on your computer and try the Canute out. And you can develop develop screen reader support for it, or you can develop new functionality. We've got someone who built in support for images, so it automatically converts images into basic tactile diagrams for the Canute. It's very exciting. So it all runs off a Linux computer. It's got a full Linux computer inside it called a Raspberry Pi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so some people are going to want to know, which Raspberry Pi?
We're using the Raspberry Pi Zero in this particular model.
Okay.
The Raspberry Pi Zero is quite difficult to get a hold of, so we'll probably end up switching to either another form of Raspberry Pi or an embedded, you know, an onboard embedded ARM chip. But it's running full version of Raspbian, which is based off Debian. So you could, in theory, if you've got one of these units, you could program it yourself so that it can access the terminal, even web browsers and Word documents and so on. But we're kind of keeping it simple. We're designing everything in Python. So that's the user interface side of things. We've also got an Arduino chip in there.
What's Arduino?
It's not actually the Arduino itself anymore because we've integrated it onto it, but it's based off the Leonardo, which is one which emulates a keyboard.
Oh.
So it's handy. So this can then speak to a PC and command. You can use the keys on there on the Canute. mm-hmm. as keyboard commands for PC. Then it has lots of our own custom electronics and hardware in there. So how it works is there aren't any physical pins at all. There are dots, but those are embossed on the outside of cogs. So every cell has two cogs. Those cogs spin around into new... so you set an entire line at a time. The line has those cogs spun around, then it pops back up.
Column of Braille has a cog.
Exactly, yes.
Wow.
And that's why it's so solid, because it's solid plastic dots under you, and they're being sprung up, so you just can't push them down.
So 720 cogs.
Yeah, 720 cogs.
Excellent.
As opposed to 2,100 and something.
Individual.
Pins, yes. Which are far more likely to stick, of course, if you've got individual pins at that level.
Right. And the fact that the cogs are creating the Braille is why the Braille is so solid and kind of immovable.
Yeah, and they're all being held up with a steel bar.
And you're saying it's safe to apply pressure to the point that you can emboss, and that's an okay thing to do?
Yes, we wouldn't recommend hitting it with an 8-pound lump hammer, but but you were going at it with some force with your thumb, weren't you? And you just can't push it down very easily. It's locked into place.
Very, very steady and stable. So you're speaking about this as a standalone e-reader, but you did just mention some connectivity to a PC.
Yes.
Is that something that'll be rolled out later?
This particular prototype and all previous ones has got a USB port for connecting it to a PC. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, on this one, we haven't actually exposed it, just because we were rushing. We didn't want to recut out the side panel. But it's got a USB port on the inside, a USB micro. That plugs to a PC, and then this can then act as a display.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our primary intended functionality, at least not for the initial release. We're focusing on getting the best e-reader standalone functionality. But there is already some support for it. Firstly, you can run the Knute emulator on your computer to control the Knute, which might not sound that much, useful for the individual user, but it's very powerful for developers being able to develop something and control it from their PC. Secondly, we're hoping to have Chrome support for Chrome OS, Chromium browser, and so on. And we're working with Google quite closely on that. And, of course, we'd also like at some point to have greater support for people like NVDA, JAWS, and so on.
And it's your intention to keep the software open sourced?
It's already been open sourced. We're not going to fork it and close it off to people.
And the plans for the hardware, the same thing, or is that a little different?
It's a little different because the definition of open source hardware is so vague and different around the world. There isn't much legal standing. You can distribute everything if you like, but that doesn't really give you any protection in the same way that open source software has protection. So we're being as open as we can. I've just described to you quite closely how it works. I don't mind saying it uses rack and pinion mechanisms underneath it to drive these cogs. But we can't exactly open source it, because it's essentially you'd have to buy all the patents and then give it away for free anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we're being as open as we possibly can be. And this device, users will be able to repair it themselves if they want to try that, or it can be repaired in workshops around the world. We're not going to be restrictive about this. We're also going to make it open so that people can create their own peripherals for it as well, and develop their own software to work with those peripherals.
So it's not a battery-powered device. It does require a power supply.
That's right.
What are the hardware constraints that dictated that?
Very little, really. We could do a battery-operated unit. We could put a laptop battery into this, and it would run for a good day's worth of use. I think that the last time we did the power check on that was about a year ago. We just aren't focused on that at the moment for the first release. No one's made and sold a multi-line Braille reader, at least not one that costs less than $70,000 or something. So we wanted to focus on the narrowest possible range of features that we know we can release as soon as possible with good quality Braille and a decent user interface. Everything which could be interesting and useful later, like onboard transcription with LibLui or a battery pack, we can add that afterwards. We could sell the battery pack as an attachment, for example. In fact, one of our engineers built a battery pack to take on one of our previous trips. But it was a bit bodged and it looked a little bit like a bomb. So I didn't fancy taking it through customs. So I've never used it. Earlier today, though.
Yeah, you want to get in the news, but not like that.
Not like that. Sorry, not earlier today. Early yesterday morning, I was doing a demo to JJ, in fact. And he didn't have a power supply on his stand in the independence market. But he did have a battery pack, so we just plugged the Knute directly into the battery pack, and that ran fine off that.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was just a standard, just one we got off Amazon for $100 or something like that.
So it's something that individuals can work out if it's something that
they need. Important to them, yes.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're happy for people to sell their own peripherals for this, if that's important, if we aren't doing it.
Wonderful.
Then in terms of actual hardware restrictions, the display of this, I mean, this is running at half the speed that this particular prototype, running at half the speed of the next one will be because of the limitations of time we had to put this one together. We had to artificially slow the speed down.
Mm-hmm.
But it will take about half a second. Listeners will note that it took around about a second per line when it was refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be twice that fast, but still, the hardware limitations means it will take a while to refresh the page. It ripples down. So it suits content where you start reading at the top and you run your hands down to the bottom rather than something which reflows text all the way through the whole document. So it's not really designed for typing in, that kind of thing.
Okay. So if folks would like to learn more about Bristol Braille Technologies and keep an eye on future developments with the Canute, where can they find the website?
Well, the website is bristolbraille.co.uk. But the best way to keep in contact with us, we do all our testing and almost all of our news through the Braillists Foundation. So if you go to braillists.org, that's with an S on the end, .org, and then there's a newsletter and a forum. You can sign up to either or both of those, and that's where we give people all the latest news, and we arrange the demos, and we tell people where we're going to be, where we're going to be showing the Canute. Also, anyone who's listening from Britain, we're going to be demoing this in Site Village, Birmingham, and we're going to be doing it again in Site Village, Manchester, Site Village, London. But we'd love to speak to anyone, whether you email us through the website or whether you get on the Braillist forum and chat to us through there.
Okay, Ed, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Chad.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com. This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.